It's great to see you, church. Thank you very much for being a part of us here in person and also those who are tuned in via live stream. I am so blessed. My family is so blessed to be a part of this great forever family here at Azalea City. Again, if you're visiting with us, thank you very much for being here. If you've tuned in and you haven't been a part of our tuned in services, thank you as well. I do want to open up with a couple things this morning before we get into our lesson. I have a very kind card to read from the Moss family. The card itself reads, "In this busy world, some special people have the art of taking time for others, of giving from the heart. Thank you for simply being you. In Christian love, the Moss family." And then I also have this insert to the card as well. "To our Azalea City family, there are truly no words to describe the appreciation, love, and support we have gotten during this difficult time. We as a family thank you. Thank each of you as a group and each individual who had a part in the celebration of our wife, mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother's life. Thank you all who were able to come and be a part of it. We all know each of you loved her very much, and she is missed and will always be missed." Amen to that. "As a family, we are so blessed to be a part of such an amazing forever family. We are just very grateful that we're able to have it after 7 months. You all came together just like it was yesterday. It showed us just how much she meant to her forever family. We as a family can't thank each of you enough for everything. In Christian love, the family of Miss B." Bob, we certainly love your family very much. We love Belinda very much. Thank you for your kind words, and thank you for letting us honor her, the honor that she so deserves. I do also have some other news to share with you this morning. Certainly for the very first time, we have baby Hudson here. Where's he at? He's right there. Is he still sleeping? So we won't disturb him. But you see Jason, he's tall, right? He has no hair. Paw Jason, or whatever they're going to call him. But congratulations to Mom and Dad, to the Smith family, all the aunts and uncles and everything. What a blessing certainly he is. We're glad y'all are able to be with us today. You know, in life, everybody wants to be a victor. I know there are people in life that say, no, I don't care. I don't want to fit in. I don't want this. I don't want that. But deep down, everybody wants to be victorious. We want to have our teams win. We want to have our children win. We want to have whatever it may be. If I'm playing cards or dominoes or trying to throw a rock, we want to be the victor, right? That's kind of the mindset. Well, I've got some good news for you today, that through Jesus Christ, we are not only victorious, we are more than victorious. As Travis read to us just a moment ago in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord." That's the end of that. But if you go back to the beginning in verse 37, I should say, it says, "In all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." Today, what I want to talk to you about is not walking around like we are defeated. You see, we're talking about focus this year. It's the year of 2020 when everything's trying to get us out of focus, off kilter, out of balance. You know how annoying it is when your washing machine gets out of balance? I mean, that thing is letting you know if you don't, this whole house is going to tear down. It's going to walk all the way out the you know how it works? Well, that's kind of how 2020's been. It is out of balance, and it is trying to walk all over us and trying to rattle our foundation, but I'm not going to let it, and I hope you aren't either, because we want to get our focus where it needs to be. And today, I don't want us walking around with our head held low and like we are defeated, like we just lost our puppy dog. I want us to walk around more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. I want you to turn right off the bat to an Old Testament story that is one of my favorite. 2 Kings chapter 19. Man, do I love this story. 2 Kings chapter 19. We're going to talk about a man who was more than a conqueror. His name is Hezekiah. I want you to look back, and I said 2 Kings 19, but look back at the very end of 2 Kings 18. Sennacherib, who is a very, very strong king, he's king over the Assyrians. He's been going around just making havoc of different nations. He has attacked them. If they tried to fight him, he's destroyed them, utterly wiped them out, conquered them. And in verse 36 of chapter 18, we have these words. The people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, do not answer him. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of the Rabshakeh. Now, in other words, let me explain to you what's going on. Mourning was a sign of tearing their clothes. Their heads held low showed that this was going to be bad news. And so here comes these two gentlemen, and they're coming to Hezekiah. Hezekiah, right off the bat, knows this isn't good. He sees it in their demeanor. He sees it in their mindset. He sees it in their clothes. He knows he's about to receive some bad news. So I wanted you to see that scene because of this. We may not tear our clothes today, but certainly, and listen, we've all received some bad news. I mean, there's been bad news this past week. I walked into Sunday school this morning a little bit downtrodden, melancholy. But in fact, to get it going, I said, hey, let's talk about some positive things. What's some good things happening? Because I wanted to change that demeanor about me. Because if we walk around, people know something's not good. These people walking up to Hezekiah, they knew after they'd received words from this guy, Hezekiah knew bad things were happening. People can read it on us too. So that's why I think it's really important that we deliver good news. And we share the good news. Now look at 2 Kings 19. And so it was when King Hezekiah heard it that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and just sat there and pouted. No. Hezekiah went through the mourning process. Good leader. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He tears his clothes, covers in sackcloth, and he doesn't sit there though and just feel sorry for himself. What does he do? He goes into the house of the Lord. Then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy. For the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. Well, that's about as bad as it can get right there. It may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of the Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. Now, this fella, okay, that has delivered the key, the letter to these guys who's delivered it to Hezekiah, basically here's what it says. And we're going to skip over some of this right now. But here's what it says. I am Sennacherib. I am mean. I am tough. I am strong. And I'm coming after you. That's why they're all tearing their clothes. That's why, as a king, Hezekiah is going to seek out God. Look down now at verse 14. Hezekiah received a letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord, and he spread it out before the Lord. You know, that's one of my favorites. He takes that letter, that scroll, hey, we're coming after you, bad news is coming your way, and he just spreads it out before God. And he says, here it is. And then listen to what he does. Verse 15, Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim. Now, you remember that scene, right? The temple had those two cherubim, you know, and they were touching. There was the Ark of the Covenant, you know, and God dwelt there. That mindset and God saying, you are the one who dwells in the middle of the cherubim. You are God. You alone of all the kings of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands, have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. If you go down and you look at God's answer to this, here's what he says in verse 32. Did it work? Hezekiah may have walked in and he may have appeared defeated, but he wasn't defeated. He was more than a conqueror because he knew who held the key to it all. So he takes that letter, he spreads it out before God, and he says, God, take them out and let people know that you are the Lord. Now look at verse 32. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. Remember how bad he is, how tough he is, how dominating he is. Here's what God said. I love this. He said, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege around against it, siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and he shall not come into this city, says the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. You know what happened? He didn't come into that city. They went to bed that night. They woke up the next day, the Assyrians did, and the angel of the Lord, that's singular, but the, right? The angel of the Lord comes and kills over 100,000 of the Assyrian army. Sennacherib then has his own sons turn on him and kill him right then and there. Why did Hezekiah go before God? Because God is the one who grants us the status more than conquerors. Today, we all have a mindset sometimes of being defeated. Sometimes we get defeated by life. Sometimes life throws difficult things our way. Sometimes we get letters. Sometimes we get messages. Sometimes we get low bank accounts. Sometimes we get bad news from the doctor. Sometimes we get bad news from the principal. Sometimes we get bad news and it could come from anywhere, right? And we figuratively tear our clothes, put on the sackcloth, and we sit there and pout, and we walk around downtrodden, but we don't do what Hezekiah did. Now, Hezekiah taught us a great lesson. You know why? Because he was a great king. There wasn't a whole lot of good kings during this era, but he was a great king. He tore down all the idols, and he tore down all the Asherah poles, and he did all those things that he was supposed to do. He recognized the only way he was going to be victorious is through God Almighty. Do we recognize that today? Well, I want to dissect it a little bit more. I want to look into Hezekiah's life. I want to look into the words that Paul said. And I want us today to walk out of here with a different mindset. I'm not going to be defeated. I'm not going to let life dictate me. It's not going to be my identity. No, my identity is going to be in Jesus Christ, where I'm more than a conqueror. Here's how we do that. Number one. Boy, this goes hand in hand with what we're talking about this year, right? Watch your focus. I like this quote. Whatever we focus on, we empower. If we focus on negative things, we empower negativity in our lives. If we focus on positive things, then we empower positivity into our life. If we focus on selfish and carnal things, we empower our worldly desires. If we complain and focus on how unfair everything seems to be in a difficult situation, we are not helping resolve the issue. Instead, we're actually giving in to more frustration, anger, bitterness, disappointment, and injustice in our lives. I thought that was well said. Our minds are very powerful. Our minds, our hearts, our attitude, they control our focus. My question to you today is this: what are we focused on? Am I focused on being a defeated soul winner, a defeated Christian, a defeated father, a defeated mother, a defeated child, a defeated employee, a defeated boss, a defeated neighbor? Or am I focused on being a victor? Am I focused on being a conqueror? Am I focused on being more than a conqueror? You see, it all depends on what I am allowing to be empowered in my own mind. Boy, the Apostle Paul understood this, didn't he? I love when Justin and I were able to walk through in detail the book of Acts with you all. That was a lot of fun for me, and I think a lot of fun for him. We enjoyed digging deep into that. And then when we got to the life of Paul, so many just chilling moments in his life. And through it all, you remember, he goes to prison. He does. But he didn't let that defeat him because he had a mindset, like he said in Romans 8, I'm more than a conqueror. No, if he didn't go to prison, we wouldn't have the prison epistles today. So he sat down and he wrote. And he heard about churches that were struggling. Churches like Colossae. Churches like the one in Philippi. And so he writes these letters and he tells them, especially in the book of Philippians 4 verse 8, whatever things are true, from a prison cell by the way, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, meditate on these things. How often did the more than conqueror Apostle Paul look around a prison cell? Look around at the same place he went to the bathrooms, the same place he laid his head. Did he look around there and did the devil say, you're defeated, I conquered you, I captured you, you are defeated. But Paul said, because I'm focused on good things, pure things, lovely things, things of good report, positive things. I am meditating on these, devil, and guess what? Because of Jesus Christ, I am focused on being more than a conqueror. What are we focused on today? You know, near the end of that same letter, he said that all things are possible through Jesus Christ. All things we can do through Jesus Christ. By deciding what we're going to think about. By filling our minds, focusing our minds with thoughts that are true, that are honest, pure, lovely, full of good report. If we will focus our minds there, the same place Hezekiah was when he said, this bad news, I'm going to take it before God because He's got my focus. Are we defeated? Are we more than conquerors? Number two this morning. If I want to be more than a conqueror, if I want to be like the Apostle Paul, Hezekiah, and so many others, then I need to let heaven fill our thoughts. Again, Paul, writing from a prison cell, wrote to the church at Colossae in Colossians 3 verses 1 and 2, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven. not the things of the earth. How much this year, and we don't have to go to confessional, right? But I want you to think right now, where you're sitting, how much of your life this year have you focused on things of this earth rather than things in heaven? I imagine this year more than usual. Why? We are in a global wide pandemic. We've had a whole shutdown of our state and our country. We saw the economy go up, go down, and now, hey, it's building back up because God's in control. We're in an election year. We've seen riots. We've seen hatred. We've seen movements. We've seen people spew hate and evil on both sides of the fence, and it all gets us distracted because that's what the devil wants, for us not to think about heaven, but to think about things on this earth. But it's time to quit. It's time to quit thinking about things on this earth. We are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, friends. We are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We are not washed in the dirt of this world. Hear me on that. The dirt of this world will get you dead. But the blood of Jesus Christ will get us heaven. And we need to focus there. Paul said it this way. We are new creations in Christ, and the old things have passed away. 2 Corinthians 5:17. That also includes the old way of thinking, right? He also says it in the very next verse like this. We are not to dwell on the things of this fallen world anymore. We are not to allow our mind to be filled with fear, doubt, frustration, anger, lack, depression, self-pity, anxiety, worry, anything else that does not line up with the truth that Jesus has been fully restored to us, us to relationship with our Heavenly Father and His kingdom. That's what he implies there in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. You see, the more we allow our minds to focus on earthly, the more dangerous it becomes. Listen, I'd love to sit here and tell you that I haven't focused more on worldly things than I should have, on earthly things than I should have. But sometimes I'll recognize it. I'll recognize it right in the middle of it, and I'll be like, get off of this and get into the good. This year, and I'm not trying to brag, I really am not, but I'm trying to tell you, I have made a conscious effort not to spend more time reading Twitter and Facebook. And listen, if you didn't get a happy birthday from me on Facebook, it's not because I don't love you, it's because I'm not trying to be on there all the time. Okay? I'm just telling you, I'm trying to get less off of that and more into the Bible. I will have been through the Bible 4 times this year before this year's over. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that. You know why? Because I want to fill my mind with heavenly thoughts. I want to fill my mind with good things. And I want to challenge you to do that as well. Cut out the riffraff. Cut out the garbage. Cut out the earthly and turn on Jesus Christ. You see, when I allow my mind to be filled with heavenly thoughts, I am more than a conqueror. This third one's a big one now. It's really, really big. If I want to be more than a conqueror, then I got to think like a victor, not a victim. Now listen, the ones that came up to Hezekiah, he saw it coming, didn't he? He saw it. It was written all over them. They didn't walk around like victors. They were walking around like poor, poor, pitiful us. Sennacherib is after us. He's going to kill us. He's going to destroy us. We are the victims. Hezekiah goes through the mourning process as he should have, but he didn't say, I'm not going to stay down here with y'all. I'm going up to the Lord. And he goes up and he spreads it out and he says, God, we're not victims. We're victors, but we need your help. And see, that's how we've got to live too. There are too many people walking around playing the victim. And I'm talking about as Christians as well. People that proclaim faith out there. They're walking around like, Everybody else is to blame. You're out to get me. You're out to hold me down. You're out to hurt me. You're out to whatever me. But that's not how we as Christians need to walk around. Have I been beat in a football game? You better believe it. I've been on both sides of it. I've had championships and I've had our eyes beaten out. But none of that dictates if I'm a victor or a victim. I've seen my team win a national championship and I've seen my team fire coaches. But none of that should be my identity and walk around me as a victim rather than a victor. I've seen great things happen. I've seen bad things happen in the United States of America. But the United States of America should not dictate whether I'm a victor or a victim. It ought to be the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ's blood is what makes me more than a conqueror. My favorite song as a child, still a good one, was Victory in Jesus. I loved to sing it. I knew the words and I used it in my life when I was a little child. I loved it. Why? Because I wanted to be victorious. I didn't want to sit around and be on the losing side. And that's still the same today, right? We have victory in Jesus. In the middle of challenges, we've got to stop allowing our minds to be sidetracked with victim-like thoughts. I'm under attack. Instead, we need to try to think victorious thoughts like, God, thank you that in every battle, there's an opportunity to be victorious. I like the way this version puts 1 Peter 5, verse 8. The devil, you know, he's roaming around, right? Walking around. You know what he's doing? This version says he's looking for some victim to devour. For some victim to devour. If I'm not careful, I can be that victim. If I'm walking around defeated, if I'm walking around with my head held low, then the devil may be about to pounce on me and destroy me if I'm not careful. If we think of ourselves as victims, guess what? We become victims. We give the devil opportunity to destroy us. We must choose to fill our minds with the truth that we are victorious in Christ. Jesus has done all. Jesus has won all. And we need to see that victory made manifest in our own lives. Fourthly, this morning, it comes down to this. We got to make up our minds. We got to make up our minds that I am going to be a victor. That I'm going to be victorious. Daniel, what a great story. We don't have time to go and study the book of Daniel this morning, but I would encourage you in your Bible studies to go back and relive that story. You remember they're captured, right? Daniel lived under two captures. He lived under Nebuchadnezzar and then he lived under the Assyrians capturing, right? The Medes and Persians, he lived under those dynasties. He was captured and he lived through two kings. But here's the reality. He didn't play the victim. He didn't at all. What he did was this. He made up his mind. Daniel 1 verse 8, listen to this. Daniel made up his mind not to defile himself. He decided right then and there, in Daniel chapter 1, no matter who's the king of this earth, they won't get to me. No matter what kind of law is dictated in this world, they will not get to me because I made up my mind. He made up his mind not to allow the situation to define him. He made up his mind to not be a prisoner of bitterness and offense. You think he couldn't be bitter? You think he couldn't be one that felt oppressed? But he made up his mind, I'm not going to let that rule my life. He made up his mind to have power over his own mind, even if he did not always have power over his circumstances. Daniel made up his mind to have faith in God, no matter how big the idol or how mean the lions in the lion's den. You see, the way Daniel chose to think about the situations he found himself in, it made all the difference, didn't it? It made him more than a conqueror. He wasn't devoured by the lions. In fact, God shut their mouths. You see, King Darius, he made such an impression on him that he longed to see Daniel alive. He changed the minds of kings. We can change the minds of so many if we allow God to change our own minds. Do you want to be a conqueror? Do you want to be more than a conqueror? Then we've got to make up our minds right now. I'm not going to let this define me. But finally this morning, we've got to allow God to renovate our minds. Sometimes I like to watch these renovation shows. I like to build things, and sometimes when you're building things, you got to tear them down and rebuild them again. Because sometimes you make a mistake. You got to go back and you got to try to fix it. Well, I look at God, again, Jesus was a carpenter, as the master fixer. The master builder. Guess what? That's why I love woodworking so much. You can fix almost any mistake. God can take us a bunch of mistakes sometimes, right? A bunch of fallacies, a bunch of errors. And He can polish it up. He can sand it down. He can buff it out. Put a new coat of paint on it, whatever it may be, and make us victorious. You see, when you allow God to renovate your mind, that doesn't mean you're defeated. It means you're a conqueror. When you allow God, and I allow God, to get rid of the negative thoughts, to get rid of the wrong thoughts, to get rid of the self-defeating thoughts, that doesn't give over to defeat, it gives over to victory. It's when we surrender it all. Here I am, God. Use me. Mold me. Make me into what You want me to be. When I have that type of renovated mind, I'm not giving my life over to defeat. I'm giving my life over to the conqueror. And He's going to make me more than a conqueror. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 promises that the Lord's mercies are there for us each and every day. He does not hold one wrong against us. He is thrilled that we are coming to understand the power of the mind that He's given us. And see, God's right there with us. He's ready to buff it up, polish it up, clean it up, and make it something special. Romans 12, verse 2, we know it right. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Greek there can also be translated renovation. The Greek for renewing can be renovation. So when Paul's letting us know that a key to being more than a conqueror and to live in the fullness of Christ is for us to not think like the world, then that means we got to have renovated minds. Today, as we close out, I want to ask you, what's your focus? What's your focus? Are you focused on being a winner? Are you focused on this life defeating you? I also want to ask you, does heaven fill your mind? Does it fill your thoughts? Do we think more about the earth? Or do we think more about heaven? Today, are we walking around like a victim? Or are we walking around like a victor? I want to make up my mind, and I hope you will too, to not be defeated, to not be defiled, to not be defined by the things of this world. So that means I got to allow God in. I got to allow Him to work. Today, as we close out, are you more than a conqueror? Are you giving your life to the One who is the victor? Today, if you haven't, please surrender your lives. Surrender your all. Be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Come up out of that water saying, I am no longer defeated. I am more than a conqueror. Let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.